I'm just kidding. As you heard this morning, holy cow, the power of God this morning. I don't care what you believe. If you didn't feel the presence of God today, you better check your pulse, because that was incredible. Like I was having, I'm sure Vic turned me down because he heard it. I was having a hard time singing. I was getting a little emotional during some of the songs, but God is great. So, Todd, you got that picture? Sorry, it was like literally 10 seconds ago I asked him to do it. I asked PB if I could say a few minutes. This is going to annoy me. I'm Italian, but I need to talk. I asked PB if I could talk about Ty for a few minutes this morning, and he turned this into the first time ever speaking publicly. Which, you know, I was nervous. I honestly was. All week long, I was projecting. I was completely nervous. You'd ask my wife, but I'm not right now. And I thank Melissa for praying over me this morning, but also, I just feel like the presence of God here this morning has changed me internally and set me free from that anxiety. So, obviously, the ugly guy on the right is me. Your left, my right. Whoa, that bad, huh? Yeah, it's fine with the words. We get the point. The middle is Jeff Evans. Jeff is from a town in New Jersey. I don't know the name of the town. It's New Jersey's armpit of America, so it doesn't matter. Just kidding. But Jeff has been a counselor at a summer camp since before I was born. Like, the guy is like 100 years old, and he acts younger than me. Like I said, Jeff is just an incredible leader. Jeff mentors everyone at camp, including me. And that's Jeff. You can't say enough about Jeff. But Ty, obviously, is the one in the Royals shirt. And I didn't prepare anything to say about Ty. I have no idea what I'm going to say, so what I say is right off the cuff. I have been involved at Camp Gilead for 7 years or so. And I had Ty 2 years in my cabin and 1 year in my cabin as an opposing cabin mate. So I've been with him 3 years. I don't think they were consecutive, but I've been with him 3 years. Ty was a kid who would walk into a room and control it. He was such a outgoing, boisterous personality, always happy, make everyone else happy. He walked into a room and you knew he was there. I firmly believed that he was destined for greatness. I really believe that. Now, I don't know his spiritual walk with the Lord, so I'm not going to comment on that. But I know Ty. I know that he was a fun, loving person. And he would be greatly missed by a lot of people. And so it's tragedies like these that, you know, we look at our relationship with Christ. And so that's what I have to say about Ty. He will be missed. So, good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? So, PB touched on it a little bit when he asked me to turn my little discussion about Ty into a full sermon. I don't remember my exact text to him, but my thoughts were like, he's lost it. First I thought he was crazy, and then I thought, man, he really sniffed too much of that spray foam upstairs. Like, that stuff's toxic. You're not supposed to breathe that in. Those guys are up there in like NASA suits spraying it. Well, they're supposed to be, but. So in the future, we know what's wrong with him. Yeah. But then as I thought about it, I started to think about it, and I had, Ian is working with me now. He's a full-fledged employee. Woohoo. No. And so I was talking to Ian, and, you know, it's funny how God uses people that you wouldn't expect. I said to him, you know, PB's asking, I'm blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, what's the problem? He's like, public speaking, you're afraid of that? I said, no, it's not that. It's more of like standing in front of a congregation with the responsibility of God's word. He goes, this is what he said to me. I wanted to throat punch him. Because he's right. He said, you follow Christ, what's the problem? He said, where is the problem? It should be easy. And I'm like, get out. As I'm doing 80 on the highway, just get out. But then I thought, hey, I can't be worse than what we experience every week. Wait, I apologize. Not every week. Mel speaks from time to time. All right, now that we got that out of the way, awesome. Let's settle in, because if you think Pastor Bob goes long, wait to hear this Italian talk. Seriously, though, I already kind of touched on this. I was nervous, but I'm really not anymore. And I firmly believe that's because of the presence of God this morning. So hopefully, I want to say thank you for giving me this opportunity to share this morning. More like being pushed into sharing this morning, but I hope I can make you proud, PB. So, secondly, I'm a hands-on kind of guy. Huh? What'd you say? Oh, thanks. I'm a hands-on guy. So, I expect to hear from you guys. I expect participation. It's not, that's a order, a direct order. Okay, so today I want to speak about commitment. Melissa has, she had a word on her heart a couple of weeks ago that I asked her to come share with the youth group, and then the youth group kind of fell apart for a couple of weeks. So we're going to get to that, by the way. And I want to look at what that word means to us, because I think it has a couple of different definitions. One, I want to look at it from the definition view, from the way what the Webster Dictionary says about it. But then also, I want to take a look at what that word means to us as followers of Christ, because I think they're two different definitions, intertwined. So what exactly does it mean? Webster defines it this way. 1A, an agreement or pledge to do something in the future. 1B, something pledged. That's tough, right? I pledge allegiance. I guess that's a commitment to the country, right? 1C, the state or an instance of being obligated or emotionally impelled. And then this is the second definition that Webster gives. An act of committing to a charge or trust, such as, 1, a consignment to a panel or mental institution, i.e. being committed. And then B, an act of referring a matter to a legislative committee. All right, well, let's kind of dig into that a little bit. You see, I believe commit is not just a word. I believe it's an action. It's an action that's been lost in our society. I mean, let's just take a look at divorce rates. While statistically speaking, like if you look up divorce rates, they've dropped in the last two decades. Not by much, but they have. But there's caveats to that. And one of the reasons is that less people are getting married. More people are becoming partners. They live together, they have kids together, they share their finances, but they don't get married. And I personally believe that's because it's a lack of commitment. If you don't have the document, right, that old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, that's a bunch of crap. If you don't have the document, if you don't sign on the line, you put the ring on your finger, which, yes, I know I'm married, I don't wear a ring, it's for work purposes. But it's a lack of commitment if you don't want to get, that's how I view it. You don't want to get married, you don't want to commit to that person. When you're not married, you can just walk away. Scripture says this about divorce, Mark 10:6-9. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and be united to his wife. And the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Let no one separate. That's a commitment. Things are going to come against you. You're going to have, obviously, our enemy, Satan. He's going to come against you in many ways. Most of the time, it's financial reasons. Going to argue about how to raise your kids, all these different things, but where's the commitment? You have made a commitment to that other person. And if you stay true to that commitment, you stay true to it, I believe you'll succeed. Just ask anyone who's here that's been married for any amount of time. I mean, we've been married 6.5 years, and I'm sure she's thought about walking away from that commitment many times. I'm not an easy guy to get along with sometimes. Scripture also shares this about commitment, Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. I think the key word there is daily. That's the commitment word, right? Anybody can say, I'm going to follow you, But then tomorrow, I don't want to get out of bed. Same thing like going to the gym. Ask Andre. How about going to the gym, right? It's a commitment. Take up your cross daily. In other words, it's a daily commitment to follow Christ. We must make a decision every single day to put our own earthly desires and our own earthly thoughts aside, to put the desires and the will of our Heavenly Father first. I don't know if I can break that down any better. Those were my thoughts on that scripture. It's daily. Sometimes it's by the minute. For me, I'm driving. Sometimes I'm sure people don't think I'm a Christian driving. That's one of the areas God's peeling the onions off of me. Commitment's a good thing, right? Class participation. Yes. Commitment is a good thing, right? Yes. Usually, being committed, not so much. What are some of the things we're committed to? Church, family. That's one of the ones I wrote down. Committed to our jobs, right? The boss asked us to stay late. It ain't funny if I can't hear you, bro. Oh. I can't blame you. Chick-fil-A is. But we're committed to our jobs. Our boss asked us to stay late. My boss is a slave driver. I get no time off. Yeah. We're committed to paying our bills, as Jamie said. We're committed to our car payment, our mortgage, credit cards, committed to raising our kids, our friends. Yep, we're committed to our friends. Committed to raising our kids. Maybe we should be committed for that. For the younger crowd, you might be committed to a boy or a girl at school. Time to dump them. They're a distraction. You don't need them. We might be committed to our favorite sports teams. I am a Broncos and a Mets fan, as TJ. All Patriots fans are not Christian. No, I'm kidding. Got him. Yeah. Okay, it's like politics. Can't talk about that. Committed to our favorite social media apps. More like addicted. Yeah. More committed to that than we are putting the word in us. And I'm not just the young kids. That's adults too. There are a lot of adults that walk around like this. So as you can see, we can be very, very committed to certain things. But here's where I say those commitments can also be bad. The very same commitments can be bad. How? Anyone want to know? Great question, Jamie. They transition from good to bad when they take precedence over our kingdom commitments. I want to say that again. The things that we're committed to in life, they're not necessarily bad, but they're bad when we put them above, when they are precedent over our commitments to the kingdom, to how we follow Christ, to where we walk, to how we share His word, to how we read His word, to when we sit and pray. When we sit and pray, is the phone off, or is it right next to you going ding, 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 ding? Here are a few questions. I made a little self-test. This is, you know, we'll see. Here are a few questions we can ask ourselves as a self-test to see if we have given any of our commitments precedence over our commitment to Christ. Let me first say this. I am not in any way singling anybody out by these questions. This has nothing to do with any single person here. It's just some things that I want to lay out to kind of look at ourselves and evaluate ourselves. And I do this, I've been doing this. Number one, does my commitment to work regularly mean that I miss church? You can ask my wife. I'm pretty committed to work. But I do not work on Sunday. Unless it's an emergency. That happens. There are emergencies, someone loses power or something like that, I have to go. But I'm not scheduling a job. People fast, trust me. I get texts, I'm sitting here in church, my phone's ringing every Sunday. If so, maybe You need to bring that before the Lord in prayer. Ask him if it's the right job for you. Maybe you need a new position. Because the fellowship of the body of Christ can't be replaced. Number two, does my commitment to work, sports, after-school activities, etc., consistently require me to miss church? It's a little bit of the same, it's a little different. Because the first one I'm looking at work specifically, because I know that you can have a schedule set for Sundays. The second one, I'm bringing in other activities. Obviously, a lot of these younger kids that are here don't work. So you have after-school activities, you have whatever. You have all these other requirements or things that we're committed to. Do they continually require you to miss church or fellowship with other believers? Fellowships such as church functions, men's, women's breakfast, meetings, whatever. Then again, I think that needs to be brought before the Lord prayerfully. I'm not condemning anyone. Let's be clear. I'm not telling you what to do with your life. These are just suggestions, because there's nothing more important than, number one, your own relationship with Christ, but number two, your fellowship with the body. Iron sharpens iron. Number three, have I committed myself to so many other things that I don't have time to be alone with the Lord in prayer and in his word? You know, PB talks about the three D's all the time. Do devotions daily. That's part of that. As I said, I do these things. Recently, I've been evaluating my own life, and I've come to a place where I don't like who I am. Now, thanks, Bob. I appreciate that. Let me say that I love who I am. I'm not thinking about suicide. I just, and I am. there's the class participation I didn't want. She is better off without me financially. But anyway, that's recorded. So, but I am, my wife can attest to this too, I am 100,000 times better than I used to be since Christ has, I'm not responsible for that. He's done the work in me. But I am so far from where I need to be that I get upset with myself. And the couple of things that I personally struggle with is prayer time and reading, the very things I'm telling you. And that's why I think they're on my heart, because it's the Holy Spirit telling me it's time to step up. I think it was Mel that said this morning, or no, I'm sorry, it was Sandy that said it. When it's time to die, make sure you have nothing left to do. That is scary, because we don't know when it's our time to die. Only he does. Could be tomorrow. And I have not done with what he's charged me to do. Commitment. So if you give yourself this little test and answer any of these questions, then please, please get before the Lord and bring them to him. Don't talk to me about it. I don't want to know. I can't help you. That's between you and him. PB can help you. Might give you a little bit of direction, but it's between you and him ultimately. Scripture talks about commitment in a few places. Matthew 6:33. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It's on my business card. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first, above all else, above work, above school, above your kids, above your wife, above church, the kingdom. Nothing else matters. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything. I was pretty anxious this week, I can't lie. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. That's a key word in there. With thanksgiving. That's a different sermon, but it's a key word. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Someone once said, and I don't remember where I read this, but we must be intentional about making time to rest in Jesus. Let the phone ring, the chores can wait, and social media could use a break. Trust me, it'll still be there. These things are internal. Jesus is eternal. Everything else is not. Kingdom first, Matthew 6:33. Everything else. down here. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he also saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and while I send you out, and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they didn't even think about it. That's kind of, you can really go off on a tangent on that. But at once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Think about that. These guys, fishing, family business. I'm self-employed. I can't walk away from work. They packed it all up. They left their businesses, left their family, left their father. They left everything to follow Christ. Seek first the kingdom. I hope you're catching what I'm saying. It's all about commitment. Because if we don't commit, we are not going to follow through. Because we're going to get tired. We're going to be sick. We're going to have work. We're going to have all the attacks. Whatever your personal attack is that the enemy is bringing onto you, that's your weak spot. That's the thing that he is going to continue to come at you with. I was talking with Todd on Wednesday night, and it just randomly came up. By the way, if you ever need to talk to somebody, Todd is your man. Sorry, Todd. I know I didn't tell you I was going to do that. I didn't plan on doing that, but I'm telling you, like, Todd. No, actually, I'm a good listener as well. But Todd is, but he's going to charge. So it's like, yes. Like, yeah. Like, honestly, he should have a business. Melissa's a secretary. You know, oftentimes I see people fall in hard times. They lose their job, they become ill, etc. Fill in the blank. We all have it. We all have it. They blame God instead of seeking him. So their commitment turns. They're committed to their inward desires instead of seeking what God has for them. Which is a very scary thought. I've also seen people have great lives on this earth. They're healthy, good looking, rich, great looking kids. Huh?
I got the first two.
You know, whatever, fill in the blank. They've got everything. We admire them. We're so jealous, blah, blah, blah. And they don't give God any glory for it. They just take it for granted. But then they get sick. Then someone dies in a car accident. Then fill in the blank and, oh God, how could you let this happen? Oh God, where were you? Well, where were you when he was giving you all these things? You weren't committed to him, so why would he be committed to you? And life does happen. Man, so true. Galatians 6:9 says this, "Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary." Anybody want to guess the key word there? Or key phrase? Do not grow weary. It's commitment. You know? I keep going back to the word. That's the header on my page here, commitment. Because it's all about commitment. Do not grow weary. In layman's terms, it simply says, don't get frustrated. Don't let life, as Jamie said, run you over. Don't be disheartened. Don't be anxious about anything, the scripture I just read. Hard to follow, though. You know? Don't become bitter, but instead stay focused and committed to doing the will of the Lord. And it shall go well for you. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies ahead, and reaching forward for what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Commitment. I made this mistake. I did what I did. Lord, forgive me. Help me move forward. I'm committed to moving forward with you. And my final scripture, Timothy 4, 5 through 8. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Every single one of us have been given a ministry by God. For you kids in high school, grammar school, whatever, it could be as simple as being there for a friend when they need a shoulder. That could be your moment. Don't miss it. Mel said something to me this morning that hurt me a little bit, but it wasn't intended that way. Regarding Ty, I'm not going to share it, but we missed it, Mel. We missed it. I'm going to finish the scripture 6 through 8. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his returning. Commitment. I mean, commitment's all through those four verses there. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Those words stick in me. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. If I don't fight the good fight in my marriage, I'll be divorced. Plain and simple. There are things about her I can't stand. There are things about me she can't stand. Most of me, by the way. But that's a marriage. Two become one. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. She's not perfect. But we are one in Christ. We're committed to each other. And together we're committed to Christ. Made mistakes. Lots of them. Made mistakes teaching youth. Made mistakes a few things.
Sorry, is this bothering you then?
I need the truck, so it's out there. Take a look at it. I charge $5. Gotta make that payment. $5 a person. You can walk in the back. You can stand up. Johnny, Paul, Brian, even you can stand up in the back. Bobby, too. Yeah. I read another quote recently that really got me, and I don't know who said it, but it's until you see Jesus, there is always time for one. There's always one more mission. There's always one more mission. You're never done. You're never done, ever. Whether you're Trent, how old are you? 12?
Nine.
Mel, you're like 40 now, right? I'm saying if he's 12, right? I'm saying. So you're 9. Your mission is just beginning. PB, you're 62. Your mission ain't even close to being over. It doesn't matter. 85, Bob, 106. I'm just kidding. Our mission's never over till we meet Christ. But that requires commitment. The mission's there. Do you want to accept it? Do you want to follow it? Do you want to be committed to Christ to fulfill the mission that he has for you? And when that mission's done, are you going to go to the next one? It doesn't mean you have to go to Afghanistan or Iraq or Egypt or Italy. Audrey, you have a mission in your school. Same for you, Sam. Same for you, Abby. Same for you, TJ, Michaela, every one of you guys. There's someone in your school that needs to know who Christ is. And you don't have to tell them. Live it. Live it. When there's a group of friends, I'll save that. But live the life of a follower. Don't just say that I'm committed to Christ, because your actions have to follow your words. Without that, there's no commitment. If your actions don't follow your words, it's just a lie. Your life has to follow what you say you believe. So as I close, Mel, please. I will ask a simple question. What about you? If your life ended right now, can you look back and see what Paul says in Timothy? Can you look back and say you fought the good fight? You finished the race? You are fully committed to Christ. I know I still have a lot to do. So at this time, I asked them to come up, and I asked Sandy not to have the kids go up for Children's Church today because I want to open up the altar for anyone who wants to either commit or recommit their life to Christ. Because recommitting is just as important. Sometimes we get tired, we get weary, and you need to be recommitted. So they're just going to play a little bit, and if you want to come up, don't be afraid, don't be shy, don't be bashful. I'll pray with you. Pastor Bob, Sandy, we'll pray with you. Thank you.